Well, welcome to another episode of the IoT Show. I'm back here with Steve Teixeira. Steve, thank you for joining me again. I think it's been since Build that we've IoT Show coverage, and I thought it'd be fun to give people a little bit of an update on what you guys are working on and maybe give people like the breakdown, start to finish view of Windows 10 IoT Core.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
It's been since Build, and there's been a ton going on. I actually brought some show and tell.
Awesome.
It's just a little bit, just a sample of what we're working on. A lot of work on IoT Core. So what I have here is I've got a Raspberry Pi 2. This happens to be running Windows 10 IoT Core. And this is the exclusive special case that I purchased for the team as our ship awards.
Nice. Can I see it?
Yeah. So there's a little engraving on there. It says, you know, Windows 10 IoT Core, or Windows 10 IoT July 2015.
Well, that's really nice.
When we shipped. But of course, now we're in this sort of Windows as a service cadence.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I was growing up, we had this notion of like we would ship. And then we would like do stuff for another year, 18 months, and then we would ship again. And now the world's not like that anymore. Now we ship, and then we ship again and again and again. And so we've been doing that with IoT Core. We just announced some new stuff happening at Maker Faire this year.
Mm.
And so one is we announced some new capabilities with Windows 10 IoT Core.
Mm-hmm.
And two, we announced a starter kit. So a full, and I've got a copy, or I've got a version of that here. We've got this starter pack for Windows 10 IoT Core for Raspberry Pi 2. A partner of ours called Adafruit produced this thing.
Good company.
And great, great partner.
And they have a little bit of everything.
Oh, yeah. And it's, if I just do the unboxing here, if you will, there's like, there's breadboards and there's resistors and there's different kinds of sensors, you know, RGB, temperature, Wi-Fi dongle, power. So this comes with and without a Raspberry Pi 2. So if you've already got one, you could buy the kit that's just the goodies. And if you don't have one yet, you can get the, you know, you can get the kit that includes a Raspberry Pi 2 and everything you need to start using Windows.
Yeah, I bought several kits for Raspberry Pi, even the original, the 1B, for instance, working with Linux, and it was really helpful because you get that instant gratification. You don't have to worry about, you know, I don't have the right power supply. I've got the breadboard, I've got the book, you know, there's everything that you need to get started with the tutorials and all that. So this is a great thing to check out for those of us that are working with, you know, Windows 10 IoT Core.
Yes.
Speaking of that, for those that don't know, what is Windows 10 IoT Core?
Yeah, so Windows 10 IoT Core, think of it as the smallest version of Windows, kind of pared down to run on small devices.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got the biggest version of Windows, if you will, is the thing that runs the desktop. And it's got the big shell, and it's got backward compatibility back to the earliest Win32 apps, and it's got Win32 support itself, plus support for modern applications. That's kind of everything. It's the kitchen sink.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next edition of Windows down is mobile. Runs on a phone, runs on a tablet. It's smaller, has a smaller shell, doesn't have Win32 support, but supports, you know, phone style or tablet style applications. And then we have IoT Core, which is kind of the smallest thing. It actually does not even have a Windows shell.
Mm-hmm.
So the shell for a device is whatever the application you build is for that device, that becomes the shell. And we do have this default app. So if you like, if I were to connect this to power, plug in an HDMI cable to a monitor, and boot this thing up, I would get an app that would tell me some information about, okay, this is, you know, this is your IP address and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So basic information, but that's not really a shell.
Yeah.
So we figure if you're building a device, it's not a general purpose computer, right? You don't want a shell that lets you launch applications or, you know, copy and paste between applications. That's really a computer thing. That's a general purpose computer thing.
Could be headless, could be connected to a TV, could be a kiosk or whatever.
That's right. So, that's right. If you're building a purpose built device, so it could be headless, or it could be like, in this room, we have a thermostat on the wall. Could be something that's powering a thermostat, so what you might call lightheaded. maybe not headless, but maybe it's just got a small little head that you want to drive something that has a very, you know, 200 by 200 pixels or something like that. So that's fundamentally IoT Core. The interesting thing about IoT Core is, although it is a small version of Windows without the shell, it has virtually every other aspect of the Windows platform.
Mm-hmm.
So I can write a UWP application, and I can really take that same application. I can deploy it to Raspberry Pi. I can deploy it to a phone. I can deploy it to a Windows PC.
A Surface Hub.
Surface Hub all the way up and down.
Yep.
You know, someday HoloLenses and Xboxes and all that. But literally, it's one application. It's not, I can build this library, and if I kind of squint and stand on one leg, I can get this code to work on other platforms. It's legit. I can build one app, and I can get that to run across platforms. That's, in essence, that's the core of what it is to be IoT core. There's a couple other things, just briefly. So, like, on the Raspberry Pi 2, you can see it really clearly. It's got all these little I/O pins at the top. Mm-hmm. And that's so that you can connect all of these little sensors to the board and be able to drive them with GPIO or I2C or SPI, some of the common bus or control hardware control types, IOs. And that support is also built into IoT core so that I've got UWP APIs that I can use.
Yeah.
Across different kinds of hardware.
That's, I think, a good differentiator. That there's different reasons to pick different platforms.
Yeah.
You know, I've done embedded Linux development on Raspberry Pi. It's really fun. But when you want to do something like hammer on the GPIO pins, you might need to download someone's library or use. I had some source level code that I was using that required elevation to hit the pins.
That's
and it
right.
wasn't fully integrated, and
right.
I'm wondering how it's going to get supported. So to have that wiring and that I/O capability that's in the platform and that you can readily use from Visual Studio, mm-hmm. that's the other thing that I think is really interesting about UWP app development is you can, like on embedded Linux, you can use the OS to write the code. I found that was actually the easiest way.
That's
because
right.
of the deployment model. It's kind of slow. You can hook it up to a 1080p monitor and all that. But with Windows 10 IoT Core running Visual Studio 2015, you can have your nice multi-month setup.
Right.
You can deploy over the network. It makes it really easy to debug. It's a different type of capability for a different type of developer. So if you are a Windows developer and if you're used to Visual Studio and how that development model works, it's going to scale, but then it's also not just an embedded app, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you can take the same app code, potentially, repackage it with a different, UI for different form factors for the different sizes of screens. So
totally true. And we do get that feedback where people say, hey, I'm used to coming from the, pick Raspberry Pi world or some embedded systems world where I can actually run an IDE on my little board and then I can kind of do everything locally. And we've taken a different approach where we say, the board is for the device that you're building.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can rely on the fact that we have Visual Studio that has great remote debugging, mm-hmm. great remote deployment. Literally, you kind of put in the IP address of your board as the remote machine or the name of your board as the remote machine. You hit F5 and it all just kind of works as if it's all local. So. In many ways, you don't need to kind of deal with the constraints of like, how do I run an IDE inside this little board, mm-hmm. and how do I run my tool chain? You can kind of have the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, like, we totally get feedback that like, hey, I'd like to do more on the board, and so that's something we're looking at as well.
Cool. Yeah. So tell me about some of the new features that you mentioned for Windows 10 IoT Core.
So a couple things that are pretty exciting. One is we're doing a bunch of work around buses to improve buses support, particularly to improve performance.
Hmm.
You mentioned tweaking GPIO pins and things like that. And it turns out, depending on what you might want to do, you might want to drive those at higher frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, if you're trying to power an electrical motor, you might want to drive that at a
like,
higher frequency.
Like PWM or something.
Exactly. And so we're doing some things within the operating system to improve performance for scenarios that are like that. Talked about the kit a little bit. That's something else that we've been really heavily invested in. The other thing that we're doing is we're putting some energy into enabling OEMs to go build products based on IoT Core. So at our RTM release, we essentially just released builds for Raspberry Pi 2 and the Intel Miniboard Max board.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And we said, hey, this is our start. It supports these two boards. Go for it. As we're looking toward, sometime before the end of this calendar year, we have our first flight out really soon. But before the end of this calendar year, we think we'll have it all completely ready so that an OEM can take it.
Mm-hmm.
And they can use, using any supported SoC, they can take IoT Core and put it on their board. And they can participate in Windows updates, and they can get that whole Windows, Windows device experience, but kind of for their own custom board.
Gotcha.
The other thing we're working on is we're working on lighting up one additional Maker slash Pro board, which is the Qualcomm Dragon Board 410C.
Nice.
And so Qualcomm has invested, it's about the same form factor, actually a little bit smaller than a Raspberry Pi. It's got an 8016, a Qualcomm 8016 SoC on it. Mm-hmm. So it's the same SoC you might find on a Qualcomm powered mobile phone.
Gotcha.
Without the cellular, part of the chip. And then it's got Wi-Fi, it's got Bluetooth, it's got GPS. So it's got a lot of those kind of cell phone style capabilities mm-hmm. on the Maker board. So you, with one board, you can actually do quite a bit.
That sounds really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. A little bit more costly than the Raspberry Pi 2. You can mm-hmm. find Raspberry Pi 2s at around $35. So very inexpensive and very capable. But then I think the Dragon board will retail for like $75. Mm-hmm. But you get a lot more, it turns out that if you add up like the contents of this kit, a lot of times people will focus on the price of the board, but then as you start to build stuff, you're like, oh yeah, I need one of those sensors, and oh yeah, I need power, I guess I need to get a power cord, and you start adding this up, and you end up kind of, a lot of these are very similarly priced if you do it feature by feature.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. All right, so let's say you're totally new to Windows 10 IoT Core, and you want to build a thing. Tell me about that start to finish thought process as if you don't work here at Microsoft.
Yeah, wow, that's hard to remove myself. So what I would say fundamentally is when I look at like the Raspberry Pi world, mm-hmm. I can kind of take that world and divide it into two halves. There's half of that world that is using Raspberry Pi as a low-cost PC. They're not really doing making. Mm-hmm. They're plugging, keyboards and mice and monitors into it, and they want to use it as a little Linux box with Raspbian mm-hmm. or something like that. There's another half of the space that is actually making stuff. They're taking Raspberry Pi and they want to use it as the brain for a more purpose-built device, a home automation router,
thermostat,
all that kind of stuff. And so we're really focused on that latter piece. We're not mm-hmm. really focused, because it's IoT Core, there's no Windows shell, mm-hmm. we're not really focused on this low-cost PC scenario. Instead, we're really laser-focused on this device-building scenario. So that's number one is, okay, if I'm focused on the device-building scenario, naturally I need more than a board. A device usually consists mm-hmm. of more than a board. It's got some sensors, it's got some other stuff. So I would say as a first approximation, a kit like this is really handy because I can get the board and I can get all the other stuff that allows me to build something interesting. At the Build conference this year, which we talked about earlier, we gave away to some of the attendees in one of my sessions a robot kit. Mm-hmm. So including the Raspberry Pi, but then all the pieces necessary to build this wheeled robot thing that you can control with an Xbox controller, for example. So that's the first thing I would say is start with, get enough hardware to actually build a cool device, mm-hmm. whatever that device might be.
So you got to pick a supported board. You got to think about any of the breakout boards or accessories or whatever. That's the hardware piece. How about on the PC side?
So on the PC side, generally the process goes like this. When you acquire the hardware, and this has a little SD card slot in here. Mm-hmm. So the board itself has an SD card. Usually what folks will do is it will either come with an SD card that has Windows on it, mm-hmm. or if it doesn't, I can buy an SD card from Amazon or wherever I want to get an SD card. I can then go to the Windows on Devices site. I can download the latest IoT Core image. There's actually an application that we provide that runs on a Windows PC that grabs the image for you and mm-hmm. allows you to provision an SD card pretty simply. You provision the SD card, that puts the OS image on the SD. From that point, you can put it in, you can boot the device will boot Windows, and you'll get that default.
Plug in an HDMI display, like in the case of Raspberry Pi 2, you see the welcome screen.
That's right. It's easiest if you use an HDMI display first, mm-hmm. because then you can get the IP address for the device and all that kind of stuff. If you don't do that, it's still possible. And the way it's possible is when you install our IoT SDK, so as a part of getting this app that deploys the image, mm-hmm. it puts a couple other tools on your PC. Some of them are the Visual Studio extensions, but some of them is this little app that's called the IoT Core Watcher. Mm-hmm. And that's just a little app that will look for instances of IoT Core running on the local network. So you can use that also. That will pop up and you can say, okay, I've got one of these little boards on my network. Here's the IP address. If I hit that IP address from a web browser, I can get a configuration experience for my board. So I can, you know, change the name, and I can say what apps need to run. And there are a bunch of things that I can do just using that configuration app on the web. I can also hit that through PowerShell or through SSH if I'm a command line person and I want to do it from command line. So that's kind of the, you know, OS provisioning and configuration step. I've got the OS, and then I've got lots of ways I can go to that OS depending on what I prefer, and I can configure that instance of the OS. From there, I can, you know, I can either download Visual Studio, or maybe I already have Visual Studio on my PC, and then I can start targeting my device just as if it were another Windows device connected to my network.
Now, which versions of Visual Studio are supported for deploying to Windows 10 IoT Core devices?
It's the latest Visual Studio, so VS 2015. The Community Edition works great, so you can use the free version of Visual Studio if you want to be able to do that, or if you're already someone that uses you know, the higher end version of Visual Studio, you can use that as well. But again, the experience that you should have is one where the board just looks like a Windows PC from a remote development target. And you know, it's funny, in my job I have the chance to go talk to people that are doing this kind of development, either maker development or more OEM embedded style development. And I always get like the jaw-dropping effect when I show people like, okay, so I'm just gonna put in the IP address on my board here, and then I'm just gonna hit F5 on this application. And they're like, wait, in the last 3 seconds, you managed to like compile an application and get it running over here on this board, and then you clicked into the little gutter on Visual Studio and set a breakpoint. Now you've got a remote breakpoint on this device, and you've got that device paused. And yeah.
It's F9, F5, boom, it's going to stop.
Exactly.
It's going to stop at that spot.
Exactly. So in many ways, it's magical. And then we talked a little earlier about the developer experience, and the fundamentally, UWP is the thing that works across all instances of Windows, right, across Core and mobile and PC. But the other thing that we've done is we've taken a look at what makers like to do. And makers, it turns out not all makers in the world use UWP. You know, one day they'll be using more UWP, but right now we see a lot of Node.js, we see a lot of Python. In the Arduino world, we see the Arduino C language called Sketch. And so we've invested some time and energy into making sure that there are experiences for all three of those things as well. So if I'm using Node.js, I can have that experience with my Windows IoT Core powered board. I can deploy that, I can fire it up, and I can run that just like I would any other, you know, any other kind of Node-supported platform.
A familiar developer experience for those that use Node.
And the wiring thing is one probably I'm most excited about, that where right now Arduino wiring is something that you would use to power, you know, an Arduino board. But what we've done is we've taken that wiring set of APIs and we've mapped it on top of UWP and then the, you know, the APIs for I/O that you talked about earlier, so that even if I'm doing Raspberry Pi development or Dragon Board or Minnow Board development, I can actually use the Arduino Sketch language, and I can use that language to talk to any board. If I happen to be using an Arduino, most Arduinos are microcontroller powered, obviously. They don't run an OS.
Right.
They just run a little bit of firmware that gets deployed to the device.
Yep.
And so we're doing some interesting work right now with remote Arduino and virtual shields, so that if I've got a Windows board or a Windows phone or PC, any Windows device in combination with an Arduino, my Arduino can use that Windows device just as if it were another shield that I've placed on top of my board.
Yeah.
So if I want to, say, use the GPS on my Windows phone as an Arduino shield, I can do that over Bluetooth tethering, for example.
Wow.
Or if I want to just write remotely to the screen and draw pictures on my Windows phone or Windows PC screen from my Arduino, I can do that too. And then the converse is also true. I can build a Windows app. Oh, and by the way, I should, before I go there, I should add that if I'm doing that sort of that remote shield type work, I stay completely in the Arduino Sketch language. I don't know anything about Windows.
Yeah.
I've gotten some Sketch header and C files from Microsoft that are up on our GitHub repository. I don't have to know how to be a Windows dev. I could just use the Windows device as if I'm an Arduino dev, which is kind of cool. And then on the Windows side, if I'm a Windows dev, I can write a Windows program, and then I can use the I/O driving capability of an Arduino, where I can manipulate pins and all that kind of stuff as if it were part of the local system. So I don't have to like figure out how to, you know, connect and marshal data back and forth. Like, all that's just kind of built into the API set.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's a great overview. What would you be willing to take me on a little tour of your lab where you have some of this stuff set up?
And yeah.
You could show people what you guys are working on?
I totally would. We have some neat stuff cooking, particularly around interoperability between Windows devices and other devices that I'd love to show you.
Cool. Let's do it.
All right.
All right. So we're here with Torsten Stein. Torsten, thanks for joining us. I hear that you have a hardware set up here for demos that you're going to show us.
Yeah, we have a Raspberry Pi running Windows IoT Core here. Mm-hmm. All the Windows 10 devices have all joined as a platform integrated. And what we actually do here, we bridging over other devices which are not all joined and enabled, like Zigbee and Z-Wave devices into all joined and operating them all through the all joined platform.
So does it mean that you could have an all joined app that would actually be able to discover and control these non-all joined things like Zigbee and Z-Wave devices?
Yeah, this is actually exactly right. So if you're a developer, you can just use all joined to control all of those devices. You don't need to know if it's Zigbee or Z-Wave or anything else. You just use all joined to control it and create your applications, create your scenarios around it.
And this was part of our early vision for IoT Core. And Windows IoT in general is, we saw like all these walled gardens going up of different radio protocols or different proprietary interfaces. And we're like, man, this is really hard. Like, if I want to be someone that builds a device, either hobbyist or commercial, how do I just make it talk to a bunch of stuff and not really care about all the little walled gardens? And so AllJoin was the, was kind of the party we joined up with, and creating these bridges that allow our AllJoin-based devices just to kind of talk to everything.
Mm-hmm. What I like about the developer story for AllJoin, specifically on Windows 10, is the fact that you can generate code automatically. Yeah. You can take the AllJoin interfaces, You can create these APIs that are very easy for your app to talk to, even for proprietary devices, whatever you have an interface for. And with the bridges, then that extends to non-all-joined devices, which is cool. So, Torsten, can you show us a quick demo of some of this stuff working?
Yeah, we actually created an application here, a voice-controlled application, who allows us to operate some of those devices through all-joined. And so let me just give them some commands. Gertie, turn lights on.
Done.
Very nice.
Gertie, turn lights off.
Done.
So tell me a little bit about that demo. What's happening there?
So we created an all-joined application, which listens to voice commands. And we use the tools you just mentioned. We use introspective tools to get the interfaces to the devices and operate on those using all-joined.
Very nice. So what else do we have here?
Yeah, so as you see, there are Zigbee devices, Z-Wave devices, different manufacturers. Around the room, we also have all joint enabled devices like air conditioners, refrigerators. The light bulb you just saw is a LifeX light bulb, which is an all joint light bulb. And we try to plug them all together and operate them, as mentioned, just through all joint and creating nice scenarios around them.
So the idea is that some of these devices will speak AllJoin natively, and they can just connect right to Windows. Some of the devices may not speak AllJoin natively. Maybe they'll speak Zigbee or they'll speak Z-Wave. And in that case, what you might do is, like in this case, you might plug a dongle into a Windows-powered computer. It could be a Raspberry Pi or it could even be a PC. Mm-hmm. So if I plugged, for example, a Z-Wave dongle into my Windows computer, I could use my Windows computer as a bridge talking to all those those foreign network devices, bridging it into AllJoin so that as an application developer on Windows, I kind of have one set of interfaces and all devices look the same. Mm-hmm. And it's cool you mentioned the developer platform. It reminds me like of years ago of IDL, where you'd have some interface definition language of COM interfaces, and then you would run some tool that would reduce proxies and stubs. You have a little bit of that flavor with AllJoin, where all join devices can furnish an XML document that says, this is what I am and this is what I do.
Yeah.
And then we can generate code over that XML description to allow you to act on that device in your own source code.
And now it's about hub type devices, hub level platforms. It's about things. It's about cross platform, right? It's not just this, I'm writing a COM application and I can use an IDL to know about a definition of an interface. It's much, much broader than
that. That's right.
Now.
And it's more than just consumer devices. We can also bridge commercial protocols into AllJoin as well. Mm-hmm. So whether it's, say, BACnet, which is a common industrial building automation system, we actually use BACnet extensively on the Microsoft campus. I'm not sure our facilities department is happy with us when we bridge BACnet into AllJoin and then write Windows apps to mess with people's air conditioning and stuff like that.
But you should have some artistic license being, you know, the IoT director. So, I mean,
one would think,
you know,
right?
You're just doing your job.
We like it to be 52 degrees in the office every day and wear our parkas. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yep. Awesome. So this is great, like sort of hands-on demo. Earlier we were talking more kind of like on the embedded device development with robotics or whatever. This gives you more of an idea of sort of what could you do in the smart home, you know, domain, or what could you do with
or smart building.
Smart building, yeah stuff. What's cool is if you all want to get your hands on this stuff and try it, we have a lot of great source code available. The device system bridge, which Torsten talked about a little bit, bridging to non-AllJoin devices, is open source and has been contributed to the AllScene Alliance. We've got a bunch of step-by-step how-to articles for the stuff that we were talking about earlier with, with wiring and with AllJoin, with working with cross-platform devices. And again, in the blog post description, you'll find links to that, because what we want is for you guys to get your hands dirty. Download the community edition of Visual Studio Visual Studio 2015 or the full edition, and buy the Adafruit kit if you just want the instant gratification, you know, to get going. But we'd love to hear your feedback on this stuff and for you guys to experience it. So thank you, Steve, and thank you, Torsten, for coming down here today and joining me. And I hope you all will have fun working with this technology.
Thanks, Gavin. Yeah. Can't wait to see what you make.
Cool.